The last time I spoke, I discussed with you the first chapter of Joshua and how many times in one chapter God repeated the words, "Be strong and courageous." I ended that lesson with a video from Jocko Willink, who said, "When bad things happen, say good." Jocko wanted his audience to know that whenever something goes wrong, something good comes out of it. Not long after that lesson, things did not go as planned for me. I experienced an angina attack in my chest that would not go away. There were previous attacks, but I just attributed them to being out of shape, because when I would sit down, they would just go away, and then I would get back up and go back to work. As I was laying in my hospital bed, Mark Herman texted me the word, "Good." Instantly, I remembered the lesson I gave. Then I marveled how quickly I had forgotten about the lesson. I don't know if other speakers experience a strange phenomenon like me, but it seems like every time I bring a lesson to the congregation, soon after I struggle with what I had just talked about. It's almost as if Satan and God are talking, and God says, "Have you considered my servant Kelly?" And Satan says, "Oh yeah, he gave a good lesson last Sunday. Let's see if he really understands that subject." I'm not sure if it's true or not, but just in case, I am not going to give a lesson today. But if I did give a lesson, I would title it either "The Blessing of Struggling" or maybe "The Unexpected Blessing." Oftentimes, we ask God for blessings. We ask for peace. We ask for comfort. We ask for protection, prosperity. We might even ask for the blessing of wisdom. And maybe we think our cars are blessings, but the car payment is not a blessing. In the summer, air conditioning is a blessing. In the winter time, heat is a blessing. Many think of their spouse and or children as being blessings. But have we ever considered our church leadership as being a blessing? We are so blessed to have men who want to take on the job as deacon or elder. And from what I can see, a lot of times it's a thankless job. Do we think about the blessing of those officers' wives who stand by their husband's side and do their best not to make their job any harder than it needs to be? I don't think any of us here have ever experienced a church without deacons or elders. And as we consider blessings, I think we really need to consider that. Boy, we could just go on and on and on about all these blessings we have, couldn't we? Now, if I were going to have a lesson about the blessing of struggling or the unexpected blessing, which, for the record, I am not going to give any sort of lesson about this topic, I would probably take you to a favorite person in Genesis and discuss with you a man named Jacob. We are first introduced to Jacob and his brother Esau in Genesis chapter 25, verse 22, where we find out that Rebekah was having a rough pregnancy because her children were struggling inside of her womb. The boys were born. The oldest was named Esau. The second boy's name was Jacob, which means heel catcher. But we know it was heel catcher because of the way that he was born, holding on to his brother's heel. But interestingly enough, there's another word that tends to follow Jacob around by Bible scholars, and I may be pronouncing it incorrectly, but that name is supplanter. Hopefully I said that right. Which means to take over or to take the place of someone else on purpose. Which is fitting when we learn about how he bought his brother's birthright and how he deceived his father Isaac out of Esau's blessing. When we think about Jacob, is there another Bible character that we can think of that had so many ups and so many downs, so many struggles? We think about the ups when he built that altar in Bethel, when God came to him and said, I'm going to be your God. You need to be my servant. To the struggle that he had to work 7 years to earn a wife that he did not love. Then he had to work another 7 years for the woman he did love. Can you imagine the struggle of working for 14 years to finally get that spouse that you love? Jacob knew struggles. Struggles with his brother Esau. Remember, Esau vowed to kill him. Laban, of course, we talk about, who cheated him for years. And also having to deal with Shechem, who defiled his daughter Dinah. Jacob knew struggles. But I want to work on or discuss or look at maybe Jacob's biggest struggle of his life. The struggle with God. I find this struggle to be intriguing. And I want to spend some time on it today. And every time I look at it, I can't help but think there's a huge lesson for us in this wrestling match. We find the account of this story in Genesis chapter 32. And I would like to start in verse 22. But to set up this story just a bit, here we have Jacob. He's distressed. He's struggling again. He's out in the wilderness and he knows that his brother Esau is near, and he remembers what he did to his brother. He remembers his brother vowed to kill him. But there's no turning back for Jacob because Esau knows where Jacob is. And Jacob needs to protect his family, and he separates himself from them. In verse 24, it says, Jacob was alone. To protect his family, He separated himself from his wives, his children, his servants, and he sat alone. Have you ever gone through a struggle and you're just all alone? There might be people there with you, but you're just alone. Jacob was alone. The Bible doesn't tell us how long he was alone. But the next thing we are told is that he wrestled a man all night long till the break of day. Later in that chapter in verse 30, we are told that this man was God. In the Bible, this wrestling match sounds as if it was a physical battle, right? It was a physical battle. It was a physical battle between flesh and God. What I see here is a lesson for all of us. Although we may not have that physical wrestling match with God, we often have a mental wrestling match with God. It is that age-old battle of the flesh versus the spirit. And I believe it's one of the greatest blessings that we can have. Yeah, I just said that. Wrestling with God can be one of the greatest blessings that we have. Going through the struggle, wrestling till we are exhausted, and eventually yielding to God's will. That's what makes that a blessing. This story between Jacob and God and this wrestling match is personal for me. I too have wrestled with God to exhaustion, to my wit's end. And I think you have too. God touched Jacob's thigh and left him with a limp for the rest of his life. If Jacob is like me, that limp reminds him constantly of that wrestling match. I look around this room and I see many who have that very same thing, that scar, that limp, if you will, that reminds them of their wrestling match. That reminds them of that thorn in the side that Paul even had, to help us to remember, who God is. I'm nearing the end of my lesson, and I will neither confirm nor deny that I brought you a lesson today. But I would like us all to rethink our paradigm of what a blessing is. We always talk about Paul's thorn in the flesh, and as he has stated, is that one thing. It is that one blessing that he has that kept him from becoming conceited. It kept him grounded. It kept him at the point that he remembered his father's will. It reminded him on a constant basis who God was and who he was. Hebrews chapter 12 talks a little bit about our fathers disciplining us. And as a child, I look back on all the discipline that my dad had for me. I despised him for it. I hated him for it. But as an adult, I look back on that father and the discipline that he gave me. And I can't tell him thanks enough for helping me shape, to be shaped into the man that I needed to be. I can't say thank you enough to my father for loving me so much that he would correct me. We often look at these good blessings in our life today and we think, aren't they wonderful? Boy, I'm scared to say this next time. There are a lot of blessings and they are wonderful. But sometimes I think these wonderful blessings make us weak and lazy. I hope that whatever power that be did not hear that and said, oh yeah, I'm going to teach you about weak and lazy. In closing, I'm going to read you the lyrics of a song that touched me deeply the year my mom died. Soon after that, my wife and I were at one of Carson's piano recitals and we heard this song. And I feel so sorry for this woman. She was going to this lady for singing lessons, and I felt so sorry for her because she started singing this song, and all Allison and I could do was cry. And this woman somehow persevered and finished the song. But this song reminds me of our greatest blessings, the blessings that draw us near to Him. We pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing or prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. Because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you are near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear, and we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness. We doubt your love. As if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea. And long that we'd have faith to believe. Because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know the pain reminds this heart that this is not our home. It's not our home. Because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the achings of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world cannot satisfy? And what if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise? I would like you to consider the next time you thank God for your blessings, don't forget about the blessing of struggle or the unexpected blessing. Nobody ever said it was going to be easy to be a Christian. One of the hardest things to do is to shed this body of death and to live in the Spirit. Time and time again, we look at the Bible characters and we learn the same lesson, that this process takes a lifetime of learning and struggle. This life is going to be a struggle whether you are a Christian or not. It's going to be tough whether you are a Christian or not. But there is one who knows your struggles, and he wants to help you. He wants to be your God if you will be his servant. We're going to offer a gospel invitation. If you have not been baptized, we're going to give you an opportunity to come into that kingdom where your God, who made you, knows your struggles, and he knows how to help you to get through them, and he knows how to mature you to the point in which you can receive salvation.